Good evening there, Australia.
How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing just fine. We've got a little storm brewing here in Austin. If you hear
Oh,
thunder, that's what that is.
well, no, the thunder might also be this end. We've had a storm rumbling around here. If you lose both of us, it's because the power's gone out.
Okay, well, I doubt we'll suffer the same fate. It's not that bad of a storm, but let's see how we do. What in the
Excellent.
hell is Apple up to?
Okay, well, this topic was my suggestion, and it was prompted by two decisions. One fact, one still a rumor. The rumor is that Apple is abandoning development of any Wi-Fi devices. So no more Airport Express, no more airport base stations, no more time machine capsules. That is still only a rumor at this stage. The second thing, which is not a rumor, is that they have eliminated the position of product manager of automation technologies. So it appears to me that they are contracting their business back to purely the iPhone and anything that supports iPhone.
Okay.
And I think that's insane for such a large company. It's they're acting like they've got 5 men and a dog running a company, and that they can't afford the resources to do more than one thing at a time. But surely the largest company in the world can do more than one thing.
You're saying they can chew gum and walk at the same
Well, I was
time?
hoping they could, yes.
Tim, what do you think of all this?
I'm a terribly patient person, but when we had our podcast about what we hoped for our wild speculation podcast, we didn't get much of what we dreamed of. And apparently some of it is and some of it is coming early next year, but that's all just idle speculation. So it's a bit disturbing the lack of the lack of product. As Sarah says, they're acting like a small startup company. Now, I can understand why some of the ethos of a small startup company is a desirable thing to have, but when you've got $200 billion in the bank, you're in the position where you can simulate small startup companies, and you should be able to advance on several fronts at once. And they don't seem to be doing that. By the way, the classic example of simulating a small startup company was when Steve Jobs took his team over to a separate building, stuck a pirate flag on top of it, and began developing the Macintosh. So it can be done, and but we haven't seen much of that from Apple lately.
Well, I would find it hard to disagree with any of the observations that you guys have just made, or that I've heard from other podcasters, other writers, other journalists, other quarters in general. Well, I would add to what we're talking about, the lack of updates to the Mac in general, in addition to not having a wireless division, and a rumor has it, in addition to for sure not having a head of automation and not having an automation group per se, there is the troubling bit that we have talked about before, of all the items that are don't buy in the Apple Store advisory sites, who all say these things have not been updated in so long, they're likely to be, so don't buy. But some of those are a bit long in the tooth, so I would add that to the fire, and I suggest we take them one at a time. What do you say we talk about the wireless business?
Well, one of the interesting things about the wireless business, or this whole problem of Apple, you know, not supporting their products, is Ben Simon's referred to as the reverse of the halo effect. Now, we're all familiar with the halo effect, where people who are not Mac people bought iPhones, and they then morphed into Mac people because the iPhone worked so well with the Mac. They could get the whole ecosystem going together, and it worked really well. So the iPhone made Mac people out of Windows people. But what if Apple stops making all these bits so you don't get the whole experience? And then you're having the reverse of the halo effect. So instead of people going to the Apple store and getting everything from Mac, they go to maybe the Apple store and buy a Mac Mini, and then they have to go to another shop to buy a monitor, and another shop to buy a Wi-Fi adapter, and another shop to buy a printer. And, you know, at that point you're thinking, well, why do I bother buying a Mac at all?
Yes, that takes away some of the one-stop shop of the Apple store itself. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it does. It's the reverse halo effect, to be sure. But the Wi-Fi in particular, there's stuff going on with Wi-Fi with all the major vendors right now, and some of the really small ones, boutique, indie hardware people, if you will, so to speak, coming up with new products, particularly these mesh products that are really quite good.
Oh, yes. Well, we were actually researching that just this afternoon, wondering should we move, because we have a fairly old house with solid brick walls, and the internet comes in one corner of the house, as it tends to do. And so we were wondering, is a mesh system the way for us to go? Now, we have been Apple Wi-Fi users for years. We've had Airport Express, airport base stations, and that's what we're running at the moment, at the latest airport base station. I think it's 5 years old. But now there's nothing Apple for us to use. So we were looking at Netgear. We were looking at the Eero Mesh. We were looking at all various things, but Apple was not on our shopping list.
Yes, and I've been told by knowledgeable people, especially Gruber and Joanna Stern, that the Eros is a really fine piece of hardware, built to Apple kind of quality, and that it makes a huge difference that you can measure and see. You think that your bandwidth is bad, when in actuality, very often it might be your Wi-Fi. Gruber in his house in Philadelphia, two stories, found that he was losing a lot of bandwidth, and they have pretty good internet there, but they love that Eros, and I'm very curious about that Apple would give that sale up to Eros. Tim, what do you think?
Well, we looked at the various devices, and I'm really just disappointed that that Apple. This isn't rocket science. Apple should be well capable of having a team who are capable of doing this sort of thing. This is one of these moments where you have to remind yourself of what $200 billion actually is. That means, for instance, that they could easily buy the company that makes those devices. They could be Apple devices in 6 months. It's an old gambit of large companies like IBM and others, and Microsoft for that matter, that if you're having trouble innovating in-house, you just buy the innovation. And so if they do lack the teams necessary to develop this stuff, there's nothing stopping them simply buying this expertise. It's not something that they've done before. Oh, actually, it is. They buy lots of stuff.
But, Siri.
Yeah, but it's not usually in the context of they're having trouble doing it. So I'm just distressed that they don't seem to be doing this stuff themselves.
Well, yeah,
The Eero seems to be a very Apple-like product in that it looks like an Apple product, and it's super easy to set up, and you control it all through your iPhone. It would be a perfect match for anything that, you know, if Apple did buy it, it would fit in perfectly, immediately.
Well, I would say be of good cheer. Do not despair. My thought is that we are going to see something to replace not just the Airport Extreme, and not just Time Bandit or whatever the heck that thing is that backs everything up. I'd like to call it Time Bandit because I lost a couple backups. I think what they're going to do is they're going to have a deep learning device a la Alexa that will show up and do all of the above in stellar fashion, use the most modern mesh network. And the reason I say that is one word that they're very keen on, security.
True.
Okay. What do you think of that idea, Sarah?
Well, I worry that all these assistants, Siri and Cortana as the sort of software side of things, and then there's the Alexa and that Google is producing one as well, a hardware thing that sits in your house and listens to you all the time. There is always the problem in that they are more useful the more information they can gather and distribute. And it, as you say, it is a huge security issue. Now, Apple has done, I think, a very good job with Siri of they kind of do a spoofing of the data that goes back to Apple so that Apple servers don't actually know whether what they're getting is true or false, but it's still they're still getting so much data that they can make a good guess at how to develop the algorithms, but they are very good at the security side of things, whereas Google doesn't even pretend to be good at that. I mean, you know that anything you say to a Google device goes straight back to their service. But this is the problem with any of these intelligent assistants or smart assistants or whatever you choose to have them. Their effectiveness is limited by security.
True. Yes, they definitely are. And, you know, up until now, there's really only one firm, as you say, Apple, that's even making the effort to do machine learning and deep learning without also getting some dandy info for their advertisers and possibly also, thank you, Yahoo, information to the NSA and various groups who love to listen in and look at data.
Yes, of course.
My point being that there's a huge opportunity here for Apple to differentiate and various other things, or redefine the whole category in general, which I for one would welcome. I love the setup for my Extreme, my Airport Extreme. I love the MIMO technology. They were kind of first in line with. They were not shy about getting the dual antenna and all their devices. As far as I know, the new ones are all MIMO also. They have an antenna running vertically and horizontally to help go around walls and, you know, or through them and various other things like Tim was talking about earlier. But I think essentially this whole thing kind of falls apart a little bit if you don't have a really advanced networking or network device like we were talking about. I do think the mesh devices like Eero's and there's like, you say, two or three others that are really quite nice that do the job and also do it Apple style, meaning good hardware build, easy to use software and stuff like that. So as far as the mystery surrounding getting out of that business. Maybe they're not getting into it. Maybe they're going to redefine it. That's all I can think of. Nothing else really makes any sense to me unless you guys got something.
No, I haven't got anything, but then that's the problem. So much of what we're seeing lately doesn't make sense. So let's go on to the abolition of their automation technologies department. Now, that has always been such a key. Oh, sorry, go on, Tim.
Just before we leave that, I'm just thinking you. The way you guys were talking, it occurred to me that the delay in our AirPods arriving, they developed the AirPods. They've got new integrated circuits in them, and they're obviously having some teething problem with them. And I'm just wondering whether this sort of delay, the sort of delays we're getting, really, there's two possibilities, isn't there? They're either getting out of these things, or else perhaps they're trying something particularly ambitious, and it involves so much new silicon that that they're having trouble getting it all ready on time, and they're not going to release it until it is ready, because that would be a nightmare. But the AirPods might just be a little insight into the difficulties of when you make a paradigm shift, getting it all to work smoothly and seamlessly. So I like Jerry's idea that that this, the stuff may be coming, but and we just have to be patient.
It's odd timing, though, you have to admit. I mean, most of the, well, I wouldn't say most, but a huge part of the market does celebrate something around this time of the year as a great time to buy a device, like a Christmas sort of situation. And it's odd that they would miss out on part of that season. Like, they should have been selling this thing last, or delivering this thing last week. So I'm mystified by that too. Yeah, I'm mystified also by that. And I had not thought until you mentioned that there may be a tie-in. Maybe there's some silicon that's in this thing that's going to be that sleeper technology that's not going to do anything until they say, oh, by the way, here's the way you ought to set up your networks. And by the way, it'll answer any questions you've got, like a la Siri, anywhere you are, anytime. Blah, blah, blah. That's a possibility.
Well, the rumor, it is still just a rumor that they're abolishing their Wi-Fi department. So let's hope for the greater things. But automation, and automation has long been, well, has forever, as far as I can remember, been a key part of the whole Mac platform. AppleScript was amazing in the early days, and always has been. Then when we got the Unix base, you know, to OS X, now Mac OS, we had all that automation facilities there, shell scripting, and we had the Automator, and we had an alternative to AppleScript, we had JavaScript automation. And if that is disappearing, I think that really sends a message, because none of that was ever available on iOS. And the feeling that I get is now that the Mac is not considered a product in its own right. It is considered purely as an accessory to the iPhone.
Yes, that's a definite possibility. A couple other background things about that. As we know, high level scripting kinds of activity in Apple have never been viewed with a kind eye. I think we'd all admit that AppleScript has not gotten nearly the love that many people would like to see it get. And it's often, if you've ever tried to write AppleScript, it's kind of a black box. Sometimes
you just can't
get it to work, and various things. So you feel a general lack of love for it. So, yeah, I don't think there's ever been fondness in the very heart, in the black heart of Apple toward automation, high-level scripting languages, anything like that. I was surprised that Swift was so embracing of being almost like scripting sometimes. And so maybe there's a major play here with Swift that we're just not seeing that might happen. I might also add to this little argument something interesting. There is something on iOS that's quite magnificent in the way of automation, and that would be the app Workflow, which is, I've been looking into this for the last 2 weeks. If you were a Mac consultant or an iOS developer, if you wanted to develop a consultancy around Workflow, the app, you could very well do so, because it is, for all intents and purposes, a very high-level language, and you can do some amazing things integrating apps and just working with the device itself. So that thing is huge. That is a monster. If they were to...
The other great scripting thing in iOS is Pythonista, but neither of those are Apple products. Neither of those are supported to the, you know, as deeply into the system as AppleScript always was.
No argument there. But it's just so not a part of their long-term DNA that I'm aware of, that this part doesn't surprise me as much as the wireless business. They just don't have that. That just, you know, Apple always likes to get up and say, we love music, it's part of our DNA. They'll never say that about automation. I think you'd agree.
That's true. Okay. Okay, carry on.
But the other thing I would say, we're usually half hour. If guys wouldn't mind, I don't think it would be bad to extend a little bit today. Your thoughts?
Well, as long as we've got time to say, let's keep going.
I think we do. there's a lot going on here. Tim, any thoughts about this business with automation?
Not my area of expertise, actually. I'm listening to you guys in an interested fashion, but no, it's not something I know much about.
Okay. Any thoughts as a user, what you would like to have that you haven't had in the past, you know?
No. I've always felt that what Sarah does with AppleScript, or used to do with AppleScript, was neat, but it's never loomed large in my operations. So I don't have great ambitions.
I would say anyone listening who wants to look into the business of Workflow, check out the Canvas podcast on Relay FM. The network, Relay FM, and Fraser Spear and Federico Battici do an unbelievable job and a very good job of explaining some of these things. And they both work in different areas. Fraser works in education, and Federico runs a blog, Mac Stories, and also does, you know, a fair number of podcasts. And they talk at length of the things they've automated, how they automate them, what URL schemes are, what native support for Workflow is like, how to do repeat loops, conditionals, case statements, all kinds of amazing stuff. So if people are interested in it, that's where I would go to pursue that. And it is odd that this is all third-party stuff and nothing to do with Apple, other than that they've got the nuts and bolts under the hood to allow products like Workflow to work. So, yeah. Moving on from that, let's talk about the big holes in the Mac lineup. And this is starting to accumulate, is my thought, is that it's not just the wireless, not just the lack of automation, but there's also some puzzling things going on with the Mac lineup, including no update whatsoever for this big, huge Mac Pro. And in fact, there's a huge update from Microsoft with Surface Studio, which has got huge sex appeal for artistic and audio and video professionals and the general professional market. What they don't have is, you know, a lot of first-party software for stuff like that, but they do have support from some of the bigs like Adobe, et cetera, like that. So is Apple, in addition to everything else, giving up their long-held pro market, given that
the... Well, it's now 3 years since the last update of the Mac Pro. It was last almost 3 years. It was December 19th, 2013, was the release of this, of the sort of trash can Mac Pro, as they call it, the black shiny cylinder. It has never been updated. It was released December 2013, and that's it. Then Apple, you know, just left it. It's interesting because it's the only one that's made in the States, and I can't see that the market for it is going to be anything by this stage. Who's going to buy a 3-year-old computer? And so what is the American factory doing?
Well, yeah, that's an excellent question. And plus, the political climate here is such that abandoning your only U.S.-made product doesn't seem to be the smartest thing in the world. And they can talk about how much of a MacBook Pro, for instance, is made in the U.S., in fact. And you know, it's true, a lot of parts of it are. It's definitely designed in the U.S. and are indeed in the U.S., but it's certainly not assembled in the U.S. And plus, there's this troubling thing about they haven't been able to keep their pro stuff up to spec, if you will, with others because of all the delays that Intel throws their way. So my thought is the mystery surrounding this could be answered by something really big going on under the surface that's so big we can't see it and doesn't hit the rumor mills because it's not coming through the Chinese supplier chain. So perhaps there is something going on that we can't see with ARM chips, which would be completely invisible to anybody. There could be something going on with the Macs in general that they're kind of treading water a little bit. They came up with a nice bump. The MacBook Pro is kind of a cool machine. It's surprisingly expensive. And the bar that they have, the touch bar, is cool, and a lot of people do like it, but they're not knocking this ball out of the park, as they would say in U.S. baseball terms. And
they're
maybe
not, and I think they made a mistake putting the Pro label on it because it's not really a Pro machine.
It's an expensive machine.
It's expensive, yes, but
yeah.
You know, the graphics professionals and the developer professionals are not going to buy this machine.
No, they're not. And they are looking elsewhere and various things like that. And plus, there's the other factor here in the iOS department. Google is very serious about making its own hardware, it looks like, for once. I've been there. I've looked very carefully at the Pixel phone. The Pixel phone is really good. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's a good piece of hardware. And the OS that runs on it, which can be updated, unlike all the other devices, it's really good. It's all good. And they have great machine learning that can understand 5 levels of context. So, you know, somebody's nipping at Apple's heels here. So one would hope that they're not resting on their laurels, but in fact doing something that they don't want somebody to see, you know, just wild speculation. Could be a lot more with ARM bleeding over into Mac, a lot with iOS that we can't see because they're going to start building a lot more of it stateside or in some fashion, you know, that we just can't see, and they're moving things under the surface that would not appear in the Asian supply chain, various things like that. We don't know.
Well, this is what we discussed in our wild speculation podcast, and I feel that the longer the delay in releasing Mac desktop machines, the more likely it is that it won't be, the next machines won't be fairly simple speed bumps or just minor changes. Really, the long delay given that I simply don't believe that they'd be getting out of the desktop market. So the long delay to me points ever more strongly towards the more spectacular ideas of the wild speculation, which is the desktop machine should be have the profile of a giant iPad Pro without the touch screen, but with a so that style where it's very, very flat, thin, and probably in the same colours that you can get an a giant iPad, and with the ARM chips and a similarly styled keyboard, probably definitely with the new touch bar.
Which by the way is an iOS device.
It's a watchOS device apparently.
Yes.
It runs watchOS.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, my point being it's ARM based. They're dipping their toe in that water, etc. Now, the thing that could explain the weird timing and the fact they're missing out on a big buying season with these relatively, you know, minor, well, isn't it minor? The MacBook Pro really is a good device, and it's got lots of cool stuff on it, and it has broken some barriers, but admittedly, it's not a pro machine, and, you know, admittedly, it's a little less spectacular than everyone had wanted, at least pundit-wise, but what if they're waiting for WWDC? Because we all know they can't make a major move like ARM, and it may not be ARM, it may be something else. They can't make a major move without their developers. So it could be where my whole thinking on this thing is it feels like we're aboard a ship that is in turbulent waters, and they have just thrown a bunch of stuff overboard because it's going to get washed overboard anyway. And they're battening down the hatches. That's what this feels like to me. All this stuff taking on Toto is that something big is going on that we can't see, a hurricane of some proportions, and that we're not going to see it because they need developers to do it. Your thoughts, developer Sarah?
Well, I think that the timing is about right for them to go to a new chipset. We have seen the Mac progress from the 6800 series chips to the PowerPCs and to the Intels, and they tend to do that every 10, 11 years, and we are now at that point again where we would expect them to do a chip change. However, changing the architecture of the whole machine is a huge undertaking. Their whole operating system has to be recompiled. All their compilers have to be rewritten for the new chipset. They've got to hope that developers will redo their stuff, or they've got to arrange some sort of emulation mode that will work. That requires a huge commitment to the Mac platform to even consider doing that. And I just don't see that Apple has that commitment anymore. That Steve Jobs ingrained in them that you have to focus. And they have taken this to the extreme, and I think they see themselves as the iPhone company, and anything else is purely an accessory.
So you're thinking that more likely would be WWDC. We're going to see new hardware profiles for extraordinary iOS devices with the intent of taking over the job to be done by Macs. Is that what you're saying?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm, I do. I think they've, as far as Apple is concerned, the only thing that's holding them back is developers, because they need developers to develop apps for their iOS platform, and so far developers can only do that on the Mac. So this year we saw the Swift Playgrounds for iPad. I think that's just the thin end of the wedge. They're now moving in. I expect at WWDC we'll see a full Xcode for iPad, and I think we're beginning. I think we're seeing the beginning of the Mac.
Okay. Well, we've got a prosumer on the line here with Tim. Tim, what do you think of that? Well, how would you feel if we said, well, Tim, you know, when you go to work tomorrow, you know, we're going to get rid of all the Macs, we're going to switch to iPads.
Well, I was listening to Sarah's persuasive prediction, and I thought, well, perhaps there's a middle way in this. I simply don't think that they can let go a desktop format, and so the compromise position is simply to make an iPad large enough so that it stands up as a desktop machine. Now, in a sense, this is me repeating myself, but the emphasis changes slightly, which is to say the entire innards of the machine are essentially an iPad, and it's possible that the original iPhone, I remember at the time, was saying, well, this is built on the foundations of OS X, and so it strikes me as possible that they can shift the hardware and most of the software to iOS as it now is, and have that the desktop machine, but the input would be desktop style.
Okay, let's add to this some references from other companies. In the last few months, I've also looked at this market carefully. Google, of course, is not sitting still. Google is coming out with not just reference hardware anymore. They are actually coming out with real hardware that's excellent. I mean, the Pixel phone really is a good phone. So what's to keep them from expanding what they're doing in hardware? Because they're going to have to. They can't really make the kind of money they made in advertising on mobile devices, due to limited screen size and various things. They need something bigger, and they are not only expanding Chrome OS, but they have now got it to the point where there are at least three and more coming Chromebook devices that will run Android. And this is kind of big because they have the dominant share of the education market with Chromebooks. And they are coming in from the bottom and of the market, low cost, and starting to flood with their Asian partners really interesting devices. There is, like, for example, there is the Flip from Asus. It's the exact same size as the standard iPad, only it has a keyboard. And admittedly, the touchscreen is not nearly as good as an iPad, but the keyboard part of it is integrated, and they make a big deal out of showing it in tablet factor, showing it in reading or consuming position. It's a 360 hinge, in other words. So this thing sits in four different positions, and they're marketing it as a tablet and a notebook, and it runs everything great on the web, and it's starting to run a lot of interesting stuff on Android. So they're nipping also at one of Apple's traditional markets, education, and they're also dealing with their lack of a tablet in a very interesting way. And we've got three big players here. We've got Microsoft with their Surface stuff. We've got Apple with their iOS stuff and Mac OS. And we've got Google with Chrome OS and Android. And they're all doing very interesting things. And you're seeing Google just forget about innovation and go, we are copying the iPhone, period.
It's interesting that Microsoft and Google are both doing what Apple has done so successfully for many years, which is to make the whole widget. If you control the software and the hardware, you can do so much more than if you just control one of those parts. And Apple has made the iPhone, made the Mac so much better because they could control both sides of that equation. And now we see that finally Microsoft and Google have caught up and are heading in that way too.
Yes, yes, they certainly are. Yeah, just yesterday, a friend came over and we got some good barbecue nearby and sat down and we decided, well, let's binge watch this thing on TV. And Sean said, do you want to do this thing with all Google stuff instead of Apple stuff just for the heck of it? I said, sure, let's do it. And so he whipped out his Pixel phone. He had on his Android Wear watch and I had a Chromecast to hook up to my TV. And, you know, we just went Google ecosystem, including, you know, their little, I forget what the name, okay, Google, show me, blah, blah, blah. And he did it through his watch and did all that stuff. It was very interesting. It's close enough, you know, there are little things not as good and a few things better. So they are moving. I mean, all these companies are moving. I can't believe Apple is just sitting still.
One interesting thing, I read an article on Vox, which the title was Apple May Have Finally Gotten Too Big for Its Unusual Corporate Structure. And, you know, there's been lots of articles, you know, Tim Cook should be fired, blah, 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 blah. But this one was quite interesting because it pointed out that their executive team works on a functional level and not on a product level. So you don't have a vice president for Mac and a vice president for iPhone and a vice president for iPad and stuff. You have a vice president for hardware. And that person is supposed to kind of coordinate all the hardware. And if that person sees all the money coming in on iPhone, then it's quite understandable that the Mac gets zero attention.
True, true. Tim, what do you think?
No, I'll pass for the moment. Thanks.
Okay, all right. We're playing cards here. We're playing cards. Some card game. I'm not sure what it is.
I guess I can argue against myself because there also is a single vice president
for engineering.
And as far as the software goes, I don't have much in the way of complaints. Apple has, well, they have two main platforms now, iOS, in which I include tvOS and watchOS because they're kind of subsets, and they've got the macOS. And the two streams have been converging. So there's a lot of crossover. You know, you now have Siri on both, you have iCloud stuff on both. So they are merging, but with the underlying differences. So as far as the software companies, software side of the company is going, they are able to walk and chew gum at the same time. It's just the hardware. Now, is this Johnny Ive? Because has he taken over complete control of the design, and nothing can be designed without his say so? Is this why everything has to be millimetrically thin and instead of powerful? And is this why we can't have more products? Because he's only one man and he can't design 16 things a week.
So you're thinking he's single-threaded, and perhaps this explains the the paucity of Macs and the unspectacular nature of the Macs we are getting. So you're thinking maybe they are kind of single-threaded through this magical unicorn-like person who lives in a white room.
I think they could be a magical person who is obsessed with thinness above any other characteristic.
Yeah, we've talked about that a bit. Well, just to kind of add some fuel to that fire, the talk is that there's a phone and there's maybe even an iPad that is going to be thicker.
Yay.
Well, we were discussing that just today because as you know, we had a rather long day trip on Thursday. We were on the go for just almost exactly 20 hours, which puts a severe strain on all your devices. And we were saying that we would have loved it if instead of our iPhones having a camera bulge, we would rather have the camera slightly recessed to protect its lens and have that bulge filled in with battery.
No, I don't think there's much doubt that there's a lot of people who are starting to feel that way, and they're getting a lot of thinness backlash from the punditry. I just find it kind of hard to believe that people are going to buy something because it's thin. Now, it does demo nice, and it does photograph nice, and it does video nice when you do your demo stuff that you put on sites. It does look spectacular, no doubt. But you can make a slightly thicker, still chamfered-edged, mirror-like thing. And remember, the ideal here, the design ideal that we've been dealing with, if you will, the archetype of all the Apple devices is a sheet of glass. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that's what they're after.
And they want it to be magical, that this thing doesn't get in the way. It's just suddenly the device disappears, and it's you and your content. It's you and your creation. It's you and dot, 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 whatever it is you're doing. You have something, Tim?
No, I was really just agreeing with you. Harking back to the making the whole widget, the final step in making the whole widget would be to let Intel go, and if they were, if Google and Microsoft are catching up, making their machines, Apple would be a step forward if they were actually making all the silicon in all their machines as well. That was just the thought.
Yes, I definitely agree with that, and I would not be surprised if we see that. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we see something bigger on the horizon. Something's being shaken pretty hard here, and I don't think we know what it is.
Well, I was flirting with another thought, but it's tongue-in-cheek, so not to be taken seriously. But there was all the talk about them making a car, and there's a facility that they've got that's supposedly for that. And what makes it and what I was wondering was, if you were trying to set up a large production line in the USA, then you would need a large factory, and you would need a large number of people setting it up and managing it and so forth. And so I wondered whether the whole car thing was a cover for setting up a manufacturing facility in the States. What makes that not a clever idea is that they, in fact, hired a lot of people who were car design people and car with expertise purely in automobiles. So
true.
They're not the people that you would hire if you were secretly going to start building all your Macs in the States, for instance.
Yeah. It is an intriguing idea, and it would be an excellent misdirection.
Well, I will laugh long and hard if it turns out to be that, but yes, not expecting it to be.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, just to revert for a second back to the thin problem Apple has of obsessing over the thinness of everything. For a while, we had the Air nomenclature. So you had MacBook Airs, you had an iPad Air, and they were the thin versions. And you had, obviously, they came with compromises, lower battery life or lower performance or lower something. But that was a compromise that you deliberately chose in order to get the low weight or the low size or whatever it is that you wanted. But now they've decided that everything has to be Air-like, and we're not getting the choice. We're being given those compromises that are essential to squeeze the functionality into a tiny device. We're getting those compromises without having any alternative.
Yes, I agree. It's weird. What's going on is weird. That's for sure. And I think we all agree on that. But what exactly is happening going forward? You know, is there going to be a phone so powerful you sit it in a cradle and you have a big monitor? You know,
stopped making monitors too.
Well, they have, but, you know, they're making them in concert with LG. And it's, I don't know if it's mutually branded, but it's definitely designed to, you know, fit into a particular little niche for Apple. And they could be selling those, you know, locally and stuff. But it is odd that they're not going to make a monitor, and they've made really almost reference monitors. People have changed the way they make monitors based on some of those early Mac monitors they used to make. And the iMac is, again, another reference design that people try to copy because it is so beautiful and consumers really do like it. It's hard to believe that they want to get rid of all that. There has to be some sort of substitute for that. I don't believe they're going to completely do away with the desktop. Unless they've got some alternative to it that is so weird and cool and magical. Maybe there's something that projects into thin air and there's no monitor needed, you know. right some
retinal
holographic yes, some plasma like thing, you know, and who knows. And I'm sure they've got prototypes for all this stuff. I don't think we're joking about that, but whether they can push something like that into production, and they have like very stringent demands on what they are willing to produce these days. And yeah, there's got to be something happening. They're not going to give this thing up this easily. It doesn't seem to me. Every time I've reached stagnation points with Apple in the past, as you guys may have also, I'm a little more impatient probably than either of you. And I will wander off into some other company's technology for a while just because I get bored, because this stuff is not moving and it's, you know, under spec'd or not as much fun or what have you. And, you know, I'm not going to switch all my devices over to Google or Microsoft, certainly. But, yeah, I'm probably at some point in the next few months going to get myself one of those little Chromebooks because I like the form factor and it amuses me. And, yeah, $180, I can spend that. So, you know, that sort of thing.
That doesn't
But that, that's not good. That's not good for Apple. The people like me, you know, early adopters, they should not be happy about me getting restless. But I am restless.
No, definitely. We're the original fanboys, and if we're losing faith, then they should start to worry.
Well, and every podcaster I know who is clearly in the Apple camp, they all bought Pixel phones, not to use, but to know really? About.
Huh. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, they use their iOS stuff primarily, but. You know, remember, there's stock and trade. It's information and knowledge. And so they felt threatened enough that we've got to get a Pixel phone because, you know, I want to know how this works. People are saying too many good things. Now, none of those people, I know, as far as I know, have ever bought a Surface device seriously. You know, a couple of them have gotten the old Surfaces, you know, the little thing that's kind of like a tablet. But I don't know of any of them who have gotten a Surface Studio or anything like that.
I don't think it's available yet.
No, I don't think it is either, but I wouldn't be surprised. Someone like Gruber, he gets Microsoft as an advertiser every year at WWDC, and I wouldn't be surprised if they say, John, would you like a Surface Studio to play with, or would you like the latest Surface tablet / computer, whatever. I think they have Surface Pro or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But, yeah, this is a weird little uncertain period for a lot of the punditry that Apple's relied on for its goodwill. That said,
yes.
Well, I think we've probably talked ourselves out, but I mean, I'm feeling a bit down, and I think you guys are more optimistic about the future, and I really hope you're right. I hope Apple is in the secret working on something amazing, and it'll come out next year.
I agree.
But let's wait and see.
All right. Well, guys, as always, it's great talking with you. I was thinking, you know, this morning, this is the first time we've ever done a podcast on the same day. It's Saturday.
Yeah, that's
here.
True. It's Saturday.
Yes, it's Saturday night and Saturday morning. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. And I was thinking, you know, a good name for the podcast might be the Over Under podcast.
Wow.
We like to,
you're the unders. Yeah.
Yeah, and we like to speculate, which is, you know, the over under on a football game or whatever, right? The betting line or whatever they call it. Yeah, there's an over under. What, you know, for bettors, gamblers who want to gamble on a sporting event, you know, score wise. So we speculate about things. You know, some of our best shows I think have been speculation. So that might be a thought. Going forward, which we can discuss in the week or so. And, we'll see what comes out of this, what thoughts we have, and, you know, what news comes in the next weeks, and we'll have another show. So I thank you both for your time. And you can find out. My pleasure. And you can find out more about what Sarah's up to. And where can they find you, Sarah?
My website is troz.net, T-R-O-Z. And you can find me Trozware on Twitter, and between those two, you should be able to contact me.
And I'm Jerry Daniels on Twitter, and that's the place to find me and all my credentials and various things and stuff I'm working on. You can ferret out from there. And Tim, you can find learning to play the guitar. And what else are you up to these days, Tim? And how's your guitar coming, by the way?
It's coming along slowly, and Sarah has to suffer listening to me doing horrible things to Beatles tunes, but I'm enjoying it. And apart from that, we go off and do our day job, so it stops me learning about unusual gambling things like overs and unders, whatever that is.
Okay.
Yes,
that's a whole show right there. But we'll hold off. We'll hold off on the temptation for that for the moment. And I will see you guys on the rebound. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye, Jerry.
Adios.
You too, Jerry. Bye.
Bye.